Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, NHI, RCARE, NRC Health, TSO Life, Erdman, and Sherpa. View more and check out all things Bridge the Gap on our new website, btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast with Josh and Lucas, the Senior Living Podcast. We are continuing our thought leadership discussion here in California amidst this beautiful backdrop. You can hear the waves crashing, and we have the lady, the woman of the hour that is bringing sexy back into senior living, Lori Alford. She is the co-founder and COO of Avante Senior Living. It is exciting to see you. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
It's awesome.
We're going to touch on an important topic that needs to be discussed more. And we've had a lot of discussions just even before we hit record here about we are in kind of a male dominant panel discussions. Where are all the women? Why aren't they up there? And so we're going to talk about women in the workforce, and we're going to talk about your background and your thoughts and your heart. And then we're going to get raw about it. And let's just go there. But before we go there, Lori, tell our listeners about your background and what has gotten you to this point and why senior living.
Yeah, so I wish I had some really cool story like my grandma or my mom, or I worked in a community when I was in high school, and I don't. I got out of college and I needed a job. And I just so happened to stumble into a market research feasibility assistant job making like $8.50 an hour at a senior living company that was developing. So I started there, and from there became an actual market feasibility analyst, so proving up markets of where they would build. Then development stopped, and got into the lobbying side. So as their in-house lobbyist, so I helped to license all of the buildings that were under construction and opening. We had 32 buildings in 10 states. And also did some lobbying at the state level, federal level, helped to write the rules in Texas that they're currently governed under. Did a lot of advocating for senior housing in other states because that was becoming very important at that time. And then 9/11 happened. Seniors were not sexy to legislators anymore. It was more about Homeland Security, and it should be. And so our focus really switched, and the CEO asked me to take marketing in-house. At that time, it was kind of fragmented at all the community levels. And so we took it in-house and built a really good foundation so that we would deploy marketing efforts from the home office level versus the field level and really streamline and make the brand. From there, became a sales regional and was kind of the person that if there was some troubled buildings, I would get them, build them up, and then I would turn them back over to someone else, and I'd start the cycle all over again.
The tough work.
Yes, yes, but it's fun. But that's the fun work, right? Yeah. And then from there, I crossed over to what some people call the dark side and got into operations and did operations and sales and then a VP and then COO and then transitioned out of that. And with my partner, Tim, we created Avante. And so ground up development, 5 buildings now that have all been purposely built for us, 2 under construction and 3 more in development.
Wow. What an interesting trajectory. I mean, that's a very diverse background that has obviously equipped you to do what you're doing today, from the feasibility, licensing, marketing, ops. So I think that in itself, Lori, it's been really interesting a year into the podcast, a little more than a year in. There's so many now of our audience that really don't know anything about senior housing. And when they hear from folks like you and just thinking, what all she just said has anything to do with senior housing. So that story alone is very informative for a lot of our listeners. We're finding out, and the feedback we're getting is, well, we thought all there was to it was like the caregiver role.
Right.
And so that's really fascinating. So I'm glad that you gave that kind of perspective of where, you know, you can not know anything about it and you get in at one level and you talk about career pathways and the ability to find your passion and apply it to senior housing and services. That's really cool. So let's talk about where you are now. Avante, through the years, I've only been doing this 13, 14 years, and I was always just amazed at the stories, all the press, all the development. So where are you guys at as a company now with as far as communities and region and kind of what's your acuity focus?
So we've been going out at this from ground up for 5 years. And so our portfolio is, we haven't done any acquisitions yet. I always say yet because I always want to leave the opportunity open. Mm-hmm. Our fund has really been in building them from scratch, I mm-hmm. guess, which I like because it's like building something new in a, you know, building your own playground every single time and having fun with it. Mm-hmm. And so we have 5 open communities in Texas and Louisiana. And then we have 2 more under construction, 1 in Arizona and another 1 in Louisiana. And then we have 3 more in development that are in South Virginia and in Florida.
Yeah.
And so our primary focus is assisted living and memory care. We are based in Texas, where aging in place is their kind of what they're very, very proud of, especially on the regulatory front. So taking an aging population, we're very comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, our buildings are designed and really run like an independent building. Cool. So we have a gamut of people that live with us from very low functioning to very high functioning.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, for those of you that haven't heard you speak, one of the things that always stuck out when I would go to your sessions and different things like that, you're all over the place, was you always talked about bringing sexy back. And what does that mean for our listeners?
So, we're making senior housing sexy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's ever been sexy, but we're
That's
trying.
That's true. Maybe you're not bringing it back. Maybe you're just bringing it, inventing it, okay?
Right, but everyone does know us as, you know, bringing back the Justin Timberlake song. Yeah. It's like if there's a song that defines Avanti, that's what comes on.
Yeah.
And I'll take that. But for us, sexy doesn't mean, you know, this like bedroom sultry sexy that everyone, like the bubble in your head, everyone pops into it. For us, it's, you know, as a female, and I know a lot of females and work with a lot of females and a lot of females reside with us. Mm-hmm. I haven't met one that doesn't want to feel sexy. And sexy meaning they walk a little taller, they feel confident. They get up, they get dressed, they brush their hair. They just feel good about who they are. Mm-hmm. And I correlate that over into our residents, and I've really appreciated seeing that come true because our residents, when they are walking around our building, they're proud to be there. Mm-hmm. Like, and you can tell. They all get dressed, they put on their lipstick, and these are things that, I mean, I've been into a lot of other communities, and I think at the end of the day, everyone says, yeah, my residents do that. But if you really tour them, no, they don't.
Right.
You know, and I can say, not everyone, but in our communities, the residents are really proud to be there, and they feel good. And so same thing, it correlates over with our team members. You know, we're very strict on what we call our Avanti swag. Mm-hmm. They don't wear polo shirts and khaki pants. They're not in scrubs. They look like a Ritz-Carlton worker, you know, and everyone is branded and they're given what to wear. And so we really preach to them, dress for success, look good when you come to work, because we feel when they start their day like that and feel sexy, they're going to project that. When they project it, it's this projection of confidence and they enjoy what they're doing, and that just rolls over into really good satisfaction and care for our residents.
I love that. So that makes me think, Lucas, you know, a few weeks back we had an awesome guest on the Glamma Project, and that'll be airing at some point soon.
Yeah.
But the whole focus there was to take the residents, the women in particular, and make them feel sexy.
I follow them.
Yeah, so is that not the coolest thing?
I love it.
So we had to allow them to share that story on our show. It's just a cool story of how that all came to be. But that, so I so believe in what you said. So let's switch gears here a little bit and let's talk about females in the workforce. So when I first was introduced to senior housing, kind of like you, I didn't know anything about it, and it was like, what am I getting myself into? But I was at the local community level, just learning how to run a community and open a community. Mm-hmm. And I thought at that time, and I told people, I work in a female-dominated industry. Like, you know, it's like all around me, all my team members are women. But as I went through regional ops and development and started owning companies, you go to these conferences and you realize once you get past kind of that caregiver role and you get to management and above, it is a male-dominated industry. Lucas and I have joked many times about going to Chicago and different conferences, and we're like, oh, look at all the blue suits, you know, and it's like the, and so tell us a little bit about, from your perspective as a woman coming up through the ranks, earning your way, and what kind of challenges, obstacles, and what does that look like, and what does it look like from a woman to be kind of in that space and be a leader?
Yeah, so here's a really funny story. A lot of people ask, you know, how did the saying sexy start? Not necessarily me. I told you what it means to us, but there's a correlating over to an introduction of switching gears into this is a funny story that I'll relates to it. I was at a conference, thousands of men, and they were in blue, black, and gray suits. So Tim and I found it was a lot easier to say, hey, find Lori, than find me, because find him, right? Yes. Because I stood out. But in these meetings, and I have a male partner, and I've been really, really very, very blessed to have Tim. You know, he's been a mentor my entire career. Everyone moves up by having a mentor. And I have several. He's been one of them, and I'm very grateful for that. So we go to meetings quite often, and very early on we were starting Avanti. This is more of the picture, because now it's very different. But we would go to these meetings, speed dating meetings is what they feel like, right? And the guys at the other side of the table would talk to him, and there was hardly any eye contact with me. And then they would ask him a question, and he would redirect them to me. And then they would ask him another question, and he would redirect them to me. And then they would ask another question, and it was never, questions would never be asked to me, especially and about operations, right? And so one day in a meeting, I was feeling a little froggy, feisty. I know that's probably shocking to everybody. And the meeting was going on, and it was, I think, like four or five men and the two of us. And so obviously I was the only female at the table, and it was a typical kind of, you know, capital meeting. What's this? And all these numbers, and what's your census, and what's your projections, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they were just like a firing range. And of course they weren't at me. They were, you know, to Tim, and that's fine. And finally I just said, you know what? And what? And I said, we're just trying to make senior housing sexy. And the room went silent.
You said the S word.
I said the S word. And they didn't know what to do at that point. It was like, Well, all of a sudden, well, tell me more about that. And then I was able to share our story. Because as you know, as an operator, the numbers are great and that's our job. But the story creates the numbers.
That's right.
Right? And so from that point forward, that's where we really kind of in that space, we always were known as, oh, we're making senior housing sexy. Obviously, now it has taken on a whole new meaning of defining it for us. But it was because we would attend these meetings and these men would just, it was almost like I should be taking notes. And in fact, there have been meetings that I've been asked to get coffee. And I'm just like, well, why don't you get me a cup? Thank you. I'm so glad, you know, or take notes. And I'm not the only female that has, you know, had these problems. And it's okay, unfortunately, it's just society, and there's definitely a shifting of it. Yeah, so that's probably a really good experience, and it kind of dovetailed into how the sexy really kind of started.
Yeah, well, that's fascinating. So, you know, it's kind of, I think, you know, on the one hand, I kind of believe that, and then I see you and what a strong leader you are, and it's kind of also in the times that we live, it's kind of also hard to believe that. You feel like in our industry that's it's a positive change, and that in, do you feel like we're headed in the right direction?
I think we're heading. I wish we were heading there faster. I wish we could hit the fast forward button a little more. There's a lot of good female groups out there. Argentum has recently created one, Women in Leadership, and it's comprised of 20 women, myself and 19 other of women that are on all spectrums, very legacy women that you're just so honored to be in the room with, and then women that are just trailblazers trying to make it happen. And it's it's what I call my lifelines of women. So mm-hmm. those, the more mature women that have been in the business for so much longer, and they're in a male world, whether it's construction or capital, and really leaning into their experiences in a woman in a workforce, because it's not just the workforce. It's as a female businesswoman, it's surviving the business world, but it's also how do you balance that and be a good mom?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and those are real life struggles. And how do you take those and dovetail them into, you know, being very successful at everything? And at Avanti, we're very open about that. We are very open that we expect a lot of you in the company. And we know you expect, and we expect you to be a really good mom as well, or wife and friend. And with that comes struggles, because you can't be great at everything. Mm-hmm. And so we try to have open dialogue of, you know, don't be guilty if you had to meet your daughter's track meet last week. Mm-hmm. True story for me. It's okay, because you can make up for it in different ways.
Oh, that's awesome.
And having legacy women tell you, I've been there. Mm-hmm. That feeling of disappointment or guilt is real, and validating it. Mm-hmm. And then having them at the same time saying, look at my children and who they are. They're very successful, and they love me for what I did for them. You know, it made them who they are.
Sure.
And so, you know, so to go back to the question, I think the industry is shifting, but mm-hmm. I definitely think we could do better at talking about the struggles that are really kind of there. And I love men, don't get me wrong. There's no doubt about that. I can assure you of that.
Thank goodness.
But it's just, you know, really having the area to say, I have to get home to see my kids, or I have to take a late flight because, you know, I couldn't figure out someone to stay with my kids. I'm a single mom. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of logistics that I have to bear with. I don't have someone that I can rely on all the time.
Sure.
So I even have a little bit of a different, you know, obstacles to overcome when I do travel or have a late meeting or, you know, touring around people. And, you know, I remember one day I was sitting in a meeting and I looked up and I said, oh my gosh, I need to go to my daughter's lunch. And when I went to my desk to grab my keys, I wanted to verify the time, and her lunch had passed. Mm-hmm. I missed her lunch. And I am not a crier. I am a tough cookie. Let me make that very clear. I hauled butt to her school. I got to the front desk because she knew I was coming, mm-hmm. right? And I said, I need you to get my daughter. She was in elementary school. I need to get my daughter in front of me now. They were like, why? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's none of your business. Mom fail, but I don't need to tell everybody I had a mom fail.
Yes.
And I call her out, and I just start bawling. Yeah. And I am not a crier.
Sure.
I am bawling because I felt, oh my gosh, I disappointed her. She thought I was coming. My meeting ran over. I couldn't walk out of that meeting. I messed up the time because I'm juggling so many different things. And she just looks up at me and she's like, why are you crying?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, because I disappointed you. She's like, I know you work. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're really sad, you know, there's this candy and teddy bear that you can buy me. And I'm like, oh, you little turd. No, you're not going to buy it. But it's just things like that happen. I think sometimes in the workforce, and it doesn't matter men or women, we both face it. Mm-hmm. We, you know, both genders face it. It's that guilt of disappointing your children. Mm-hmm. And then we don't realize, I think, that sometimes those unintentional disappointments actually make them stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But if we talked about them more openly, I think people would be like, oh, that's happened to me too. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad to know I'm not the only one.
Yeah. Well, I think the fact that we're having this conversation today, it's going to touch a lot of people just to be talking about the issue. And I think in today's society, that's how culture shift starts, right? Is having the conversation. So we didn't get a lot of time before because we're here at a show and things like that. And so I'm kind of throwing questions at you, which you're awesome at just like running with. So thank you for doing that.
The stories are great.
They are great. So address, you know, I think Lucas and I, we really believe there's so much positive happening in our industry. Now, granted, we have problems just like any other industry, but
there's gaps.
We choose to see the positive, and when there is negative, we choose to believe that the people that we are interacting with and our listeners, they're really wanting to improve. So kind of as we start wrapping this up, because we know you've got a busy day ahead of you, address a couple of different groups. Address that young woman that may be going through some of the challenges that you've experienced to get you where you are, and leave them with kind of that closing word of encouragement. But then also on the flip side, address the males out there that are literally they're brought up in a culture, and you just kind of fall into the status quo. But what are some cultural things that they can do to be more sensitive, to not fall into some of the just norms that we grow up with that kind of create a culture that's maybe not the healthiest in the world?
Yeah, so I'll address my advice to all the males out there. And we're all guilty of it. It's unintentional discrimination, right? So we make assumptions. Oh, she has a kid, so she probably doesn't want to travel. Don't make that assumption. Ask her. Yeah. Respect it if she can't, but ask her first versus making an assumption.
Sure.
It's kind of like a memory care resident. Let's not assume they always want tea. Let's continue to give them a choice and ask, because maybe one day the resident says, well, I want milk, even though they like tea every day, right?
Yeah.
And so don't make assumptions that they can't based upon what their home life looks like. And talk to her about it. A lot of, when I talk to a lot of women, they're afraid to tell their male boss, I'm really stressed right now because my daughter's homesick with a fever. But I feel like I have to be here.
Yeah.
Have a relationship that says, you know, that has that really good open door policy, and give empathy to her because it is stressful.
Sure.
You know, as females, we're naturally wired to be the caregiver and nurturer.
Sure.
That's what makes women awesome. And what makes men awesome is they're wired to be fixers and providers.
Sure.
But we need both to really be successful. And sometimes women are afraid to share their stresses. That they're stressed because of all the nurturing, caregiving, because maybe the man, their male boss, won't understand that because he doesn't have to deal with it. So she makes an assumption on her side too, right? And so if we could just break down those walls and create a safe zone to talk about it, doesn't mean she, you know, has to always miss things and stuff, but sometimes it's just hearing like, I know you're stressed, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but sorry. And so I think just doing that will really help bridge the gap in that area.
That's so awesome. Right. And you think about today with all the labor demands and the growth of our industry, if our listeners are not in an environment where they feel safe to talk about it, there's another place right down the street.
That's right.
That the culture may be a lot better. So what an awesome conversation. I think this is something that probably a lot of people are even afraid to talk about still.
Yes.
So thank you for just being open and candid and transparent. Our listeners are very engaging. We love to connect them to you through our show notes, through our social media. Thank you for being available and just sharing your knowledge. And it's really a mentorship. And that's what we need more of.
Yeah,
and that's this mentorship aspect of it, I think, is really, really powerful. And, you know, for me, starting my company, my first three hires have been women. And when I talked to them, I said, I didn't hire you because you were a woman. I hired you because you were the best person for this job.
Awesome.
And untraditional roles, actually, director of construction, female. I'm very excited about it. And so let's end with that admonition. Talk to the young females out there to give them some encouragement.
Yeah, so I always say who we sell to, that adult daughter, who we serve, the resident, and who we employ are all women. And so in our industry, we have such a great platform to tap into the history of women that are now entering into our buildings that were a part of the working woman force. Right? And then such a great platform that we as strong women can build other strong women. And then women having children, like myself, I have a daughter and a son. And so we have such a great platform with our industry to touch many women. And so I always say you're not alone. And most likely your story is your own unique story, but it's the message is the same. You know, you feel guilty. You're not sure how you can juggle it all. You're trying to be great at everything. And sometimes it's okay just to be good at stuff and be great at other things. And that's okay.
Awesome.
And it's okay to fail and just put your big girl panties back on and keep on marching, you know, and that you're not perfect, and we're not wired to be perfect. We're not designed to be perfect. Our imperfections are really what make us unique, and it's okay to be unique in your own way and just go out there and be the best and be you.
And that's not only great advice for the females, that's great advice for mankind.
Yeah.
Right? So that's awesome.
Be the bridge.
That's right.
A part of our culture here and what we're trying to inspire people in the workplace and senior living to be the bridge. Yeah, there's gaps, but there's bridges that can bridge those gaps. And that's what we're all about here. Great conversation, Lori. We're so thankful for you to come and give your thoughts and your heart behind the work that you're doing. It's really important. So we'll connect btgvoice.com. Please, engage with us. I'm sure you have questions. Tell us your story. Reach out to us on our website or on LinkedIn. We'll connect to Lori in the notes. And thank you one and all for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
The podcast team wants to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, let us know your takeaways. Take a screenshot of the show you just listened to, tag BTG Voice, and we might just share your thoughts. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.